שבוע טוב ומבורך. That was a very good impersonation of me. And I want to set the record that fashion is not important to me. Happens to be that once in a while I have a nice suit, but I don't put too much thought into it. But thank you for the compliment. I wouldn't want to minimize the great Sephardim to a nice tie or a nice stripe. Sephardim are much more than that, that's for sure. I came to say Torah to you tonight. If somewhere in the Divrei Torah you get inspired and you get a chizuk, then we've served our purpose. But my purpose on Motzei Shabbat, I like to come and say Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah that I have not said on a CD or something that you can look online. It's the first time I'm saying over this Divrei Torah in your honor. And I think it's important. Today, of course, is a special Shabbat, Shabbat Shira. The climax of the parasha, as Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. The splitting of the sea. And the Jewish people spontaneously all break out into a collective prophecy. And they sing one of the greatest songs, a song of the ages. We still sing the Az Yashir every single day in the Bet Knesset. Much has been written to explain this song. The song begins Az Yashir. Rashi is bothered. Yashir is future. Moshe will sing. Grammatically, it's incorrect. It should say Az Shav. So right away, we didn't even get out of the box, and already there's a strong question on the song. We didn't even get to the song yet. They can't get past the Yashir. So Rashi explains it. He has to squeeze it. He says, Yashir means when it was the moment that they contemplated to sing. That means in his mind, or in the minds of Am Yisrael, they contemplated to sing. As Yashir, when it entered the Mahshava. And Rashi writes that the Yud of Yashir hints to Mahshava. That when it was in their thought, when they conjectured to sing, as Yashir. But I'd like to say a novel interpretation tonight. If you look at the Sefer Torah that the Az Yashir is written, you'll also notice it's written in a different structure than a regular Amud of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara calls this structure Ariyah al Gabe Levana. Normally in an Amud of a Sefer Torah, it's just lines, all the way down, straight lines. Here, you have a few words, a space, a few words, then underneath it a space, and then a few words, then a space. The Gemara says it's the style of a half a brick over a full brick. Normally when you look at a page of a Sefer Torah, you see black ink, and you see some white parchment in between. When you look at the page of the Az Yashir, you see a lot of white, and you see some black lines in between. And the Mefarshim are questioning, why is the song written in such a format? You just have to look at the page right away, you know, that's Az Yashir. You could look at it from far. You see it's a different skeleton. I once saw an answer by a great rabbi called Rabbeinu Yitzhak Karo. He's the uncle of Maran. Maran is Rabbi Yosef Karo, our rabbi, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Even though it says in this week's parasha, Ubnei Yisrael Yotzeim Biyad Rama, but the Sfaradim, we accepted the opinion of Maran. Maran had an uncle, Rabbi Yitzhak. He says an interesting hiddush. He writes, there's a Gemara in Berachot, Daf Lamed Gimel. There was a Hazan, he got up to lead the service in front of Rabbi Hanina. Ahu denachit kamed Rabbi Hanina. And he got up and he started to pray. And he said, Ha'el, ha'gadol, ha'gibor, ha'nora, ha'izuz, ha'tahor, ha'tzadik, ha'chasid, ha'nora. And he started to go on and on and on. And he's throwing adjectives and accolades that God is this, and God is this, and God is that. So after he finished, the rabbi tells him, Sayyamtinu lishvacha demare alma. You finished all the praises? You have nothing left to say? What he meant to tell him is, who asked you to praise God so much? We're allowed to say, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. That's what you say. Because Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah said, Ha'el Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. But more than that, you're not supposed to say. Why? Because you're giving the impression that that's all God is, the 11 compliments. To say nothing, you have to say something. But once you overdo it, as if you're saying, I exhausted all the praises of God. So he says, why don't you just stick to the three praises of Agadol, Agibor, Vanura, and call it a day. Sometimes the Gemara is teaching us, more is less. More is less. The Gemara is saying, you think you're going to praise God so much? On the contrary, you're taking away from the Kavod of Hashem. Because if you want to praise God to the end, you never end. It's infinite. There's not 11 praises, there's not 11,000 praises. God is eternal, and the praises are eternal. So the Rebbeinu Yitzchak Karo says, when the Jewish people came to praise God in the Az Yashir, and they're coming to sing God's accolades, they said to themselves, not to say anything, we cannot. We have to sing something. But if we're going to say everything, it'll never end. Therefore, when they sang the song, they left blank spaces, as if it's dot, dot, dot. As if the blank spaces are etc. On purpose, they left blank spots in order to show there's much more to be said that we are not saying. Don't think that this is the whole song. Don't think that we can praise God for such a miracle in a few pesukim. The white cloth of the song represents the limitation of man and represents the humility of man, that we tell Borei Olam, no matter what we sing and no matter what we say, the praises are endless. That's one interpretation. But in your honor, I'd like to say another interpretation. In honor of the night. I'm sure all of you heard about the communist regime in Russia. A communist regime that lasted for close to 70 years. A regime that fell in our time, about 25 years ago. You must know that this regime and this government had many laws. But their most significant law was a ban. This ban was against none other than God Almighty Himself. There was a ban in Russia against God. A Jew was not allowed to practice. A Jew was not allowed to circumcise his children. A Jew was not allowed to shake a lulav. A Jew was not allowed to learn Torah or teach Torah or even to have any Jewish books in his home. The KGB would come to a Jewish home and they would search the library. If they found the Sidur, that's an automatic death sentence. And if they're lucky, they would get sent to the gulags in Siberia. You were not allowed to mention God's name. You were not allowed to dress Jewish. The communists waged war against God Almighty Himself. And for 70 years, that's almost three generations of Jews, were brought up without any tradition, without any understanding of religion. The Gedolim have said that what Hitler did to Am Yisrael was devastating. But the Jews that died under Hitler died Jewish. Whereas in communist Russia, they took the Jewishness out of the people. They didn't kill too many, but they took the Jewishness. They stripped them from their religion. 25 years ago, they came to restart Russian Jewry. There was a young man from the community when they started to allow Jews back into Russia. I made a trip there myself a few years ago to see what's going on over there. I visited a town called Guri. Guri is where Stalin was born. They have a museum on Stalin, and they have a big statue of Stalin, one of the fathers of communism. He asked me, why did I go? I'm not a big Stalin fan. Why did I go to Guri? You see the big apartment buildings, the Russian construction, coal brick buildings, square buildings with no windows. And they take me to a certain place. It looks like a printing press. Looks like some sort of business. And they bang on a door and they open a lock and they go downstairs. And all of a sudden you see, in a clandestine, hidden spot, a matzah bakery. They said, this is the way the Jews had to bake matzot. They had to go at risk of their own life, hide underneath, go into a secret passageway, and open the ovens. I said, wow. But I didn't go to Guri to get matzot. There's actually today a yeshiva there. And I went to deliver a shi'ud in that yeshiva. And I was so excited when I was delivering the shi'ud, because from the window of the yeshiva you could see the statue of Stalin. Stalin's goal was to close every yeshiva. His goal was to stop Talmud Torah, to burn every Jewish book, and to rob Am Yisrael of their tradition. So I said to the teachers there, please, when I speak, I want you to open the windows. I want that statue of Stalin to hear the words of Torah. Torah is still in Russia, and Stalin is turning over in his grave what he tried to uproot. He was not successful. I want my Devre Torah to burn his ears, that he should hear what I'm saying, that he was not successful. עומדים עלינו לחלותינו והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם. So this rabbi decided to go to Russia and he's going to lead the high holiday services for them. So he went to his rabbi And he asked him, Hakam, you have any advice? These are people that haven't prayed Rosh Hashanah maybe ever in their lives. Maybe most of them never even saw Mahzor. Who knows when the last time they heard Shofar? Maybe, Rabbi, you could give me advice. I have to make a speech. What should I tell them in the speech? How should I inspire them? He said, you tell them the following. There's a city in the Ukraine. It's called Berdichev. The rabbi of this city was called Rav Levi Yitzhak mi Berdichev. I was in that city a few times. I had the zechut to go to the grave of Rav Levi Yitzhak mi Berdichev. It's a nice town, nice city. But during his time, there was a time where anti-Semitism was rampant. And Jews were dying, and there was pogroms, and there was gezerot. And Rav Levi Yitzhak decided that they need to make a prayer vigil. We have to bring the whole city of Berdichev to the Bet Knesset HaGadol, and we're going to pray. And Be'ezat Hashem, God will get rid of the decree. They went, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. Everybody's praying with Kavanah. And sure enough, shortly after that, the Gezerah was nullified. They told Rav Levi Yitzhak, Harav, that the tefillot worked. He says, yes. But specifically one member of this tefillah group, his prayers are what pierced the heavens. They said, which one? He said, the wagon driver. The Eglon. The wagon driver. He's Amaris. The wagon driver is Bur. He's an ignoramus. What does the wagon driver know? So they went and they asked the wagon driver, what tefillah did you make? Rav Levi Yitzhak mi Berdichev gives you the credit out of all of us. That it was your tefillah that broke the Gezerah. He said, what should I tell you? He blushed a little. He said, I am not so learned. I don't have so much knowledge. And I'm really not so fluent in the Sidur. I'm lucky I know the Aleph Bet. So I prayed to Borei Olam and I said, God, I cannot present you a tefillah. I cannot present you something from the Sidur that's eloquent. So I'm going to present you the letters of the Aleph Bet. And he started to pray. Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Dalet. And he's crying. Evah, Zayin. And I kept on reviewing the letters of the Aleph Bet. And I told Borei Olam, now you have all the letters. You arrange them into a tefillah that will get us out of this mess. Rav Levi Yitzhak said he was so pure with his intention. He had such good kavanah. Borei Olam said, this tefillah is the strongest tefillah. God arranged it, and God added all the kavanot, and God added all the necessary ingredients for a tefillah. So he told them. I heard the story from my rabbi, Hacham Baruch ben Chaim, alav shalom. He was a Havruta of Hacham Avadya. He told it to us. Of course, he's not going to tell it to us from Berdichev. He told it to us in a different way. He said there was once a rabbi. He went to have a Friday night dinner by a certain person invited him. So after Kiddush, the custom is by the Sfaradim, we kiss our parents' hands and we get beracha. So the children go to the Baal HaBayit and they kiss his hand and he puts his hands on the child and he says, Elu ve'elu nisrafim bebet ha'deshen, which means this one and this one should be burnt in the house of ashes. The rabbi can't believe it. What? Did I hear this correctly? Then the next kid comes. Daddy, give me beracha. Bosido, he kisses his hand, he puts his hand on. Elu ve'elu nisrafim be'et ha'deshem. Amen. The rabbi says, what is he saying over here? He's blessing that the kid should be burnt in the Bet HaDeshen. Obviously he doesn't know what he's saying. I remember we had a teacher in the yeshiva. We were kids, we don't know everything, we're kids. Whenever the teacher would get angry, he would say, Lech la'azazel. We don't know what Azazel was. We'd say, Amen, Ken Yiratzon. We don't know what, now we're learning Gemara about Azazel. We say, wow, that's what he was saying, he's cursing us out. We don't know it's a curse. Azazel, we thought it was Gan Eden. So anyway, this guy, he says, Elu ve'elzu. So the rabbi tells him, hey, come in. You know what this is, Elu ve'elzu with addition? You're cursing your kids every Friday, they should be burnt in the house of ashes? Oh, I didn't know, Hakam. Do not say this anymore. Okay, Chatati Aviti Pashat, I didn't know. That night the rabbi has a dream. The malachim come to him in a dream. What did you do? What did you do? You know what was going on in this guy's house every Friday night? He was so pure. His kavanah was so genuine. He doesn't know. He would say, Elu ve'elu nisrafim be'et ha'deshen, and God would rearrange the letters and would make the most beautiful beracha. God would see to it that those letters of Elu ve'elu be'et ha'deshen would turn out to be like, you see, Micha Elohim Kefayim Bechim Nasher. It turned out to be like Birkat Kohanim. And you stopped him? You took away his purity. Go tell him, let him continue his minhag. So you see, sometimes the purest tefillah is simple. Aleph Bet. So the rabbi told his student, when you go to Russia, it was in the city of Lemberg. Go tell them this story, it'll give them chizuk, because they don't know too much. So it was Leil Rosh Hashanah. And the rabbi, they set up 50 seats. They thought, how many people are going to come in Russia right after the communists fell? How many people are going to come to pray Rosh Hashanah? To their shock, the people are filing in. 500 people. They're expecting 50. The rabbi couldn't believe it. These people are so thirsty for a service. Right away they're scurrying around, set up more tables, set up more chairs, set up more preparations. The rabbi got up and said, Rabotai, I want to tell you a story. And there was a pogrom, and he made a tefillah in the Bet Knesset, and there was the Eglon there, and he said the Aleph Bet. And he said to everybody, he says, we can relate to that. Most of you are not so sophisticated, you don't have such a tradition, most of you are not familiar with the Mahzor. But everybody will pray to God according to their understanding, and God will rearrange the letters. An old man walked up to the rabbi and said, Rabbi, this story is a good story for Berdichev, because at least the wagon driver knew the Aleph Bet. But nobody in this room even knows the letters of the Aleph Bet. And the rabbi was shocked. Ad kedekach, to that extent that the Russians took away even the alphabet. They don't know what an aleph is, what a bet is, what a chafsofit is. They never heard of anything. So the Rav said, okay, we're going to do a new tefillah that never existed before. Will the congregation rise? And he said, repeat after me. And the rabbi on top of his lungs says, Aleph! And the whole congregation, Aleph! And the rabbi says, Bet! And the people are screaming with tears coming down their eyes, Bet! To this is a tefillah that they have. The only thing they can say. They don't even know what they're saying. Gimal, Dalid. People are fainting from the excitement of it. The walls are tremoring. The roof is moving off its beams and they're going through the letters of the alphabet, one letter after the next. Mem Sofit! And this is how they prayed that Rosh Hashanah. Hazan says a letter of the alphabet, and the Kahal repeats, and at the end of that service, the rabbi said, Borei Olam, we delivered you the letters. That's as best as we're able to do. It's not our fault. They took everything from us. Our intention is good, but we are limited. Dear God, take the letters and make words. Take the letters and make sentences. Take the letters and make paragraphs. And let it be that from these letters, you'll make a new mahzor. A mahzor of Rosh Hashanah from people like us of Lemberg that are illiterate, that don't know even the basics. When the rabbi came back to New York, he went to the great rabbi, the Babavir rabbi. The rabbi told him, a tefillah like this on Rosh Hashanah, I don't know if there ever was like a tefillah like this. This is the highest level of tefillot coming from such purity. So the rabbi said, but all we said is the Aleph Bet. So let me tell you a chiddush. Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, he wrote many books. One of the books he wrote is Shir HaShirim. In the first chapter of Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech writes, Im lo tid'i lach hayafa banashim, tse'i lach be'ekveh hason, וראי את גדיותייך על משכנות הרועים. Listen to an interpretation of a great rabbi called the Magid Mimezrich. He said, אם לא תדעי לך, if you do not know, some people are not knowledgeable, אם לא תדעי לך, היפה, if you don't know the beauty, Vanashim. Nashim in this word the Magid understands is referring to tefillah, the prayers. Im lo tedi lach hayafa banashim. If you don't know what the words mean, if you don't understand the value of the sidur, tse'ilach, go away from your depression, don't be sad. Be'ekveh hatzon, follow the rule of tzon. Tzon is abbreviation. Sirufe otiyot nekudot. Just give God the letters and the dots. And then tell God, Borei Olam, I delivered you the words. You add the kavana. You add the kavanot. I don't know anything. I'm reading words. Tse'ilach be'ekveh hatzon. Ur'iyat gidiyotayich, and send these small gidis up al mishkenot haro'im, but with the kavanah of the shepherds. The shepherds are the Bishamon ben Yochai, the Arizal, the Rashash, Ben Ishchai, all the great rabbis say, listen, we don't know anything. Borei Olam, you finish it for us. We can deliver ikbet tzon. Sirufe otiyot nekudot. He says those guys in Lemberg, they delivered letters with nekudot. And they said, God, you finish it. And a prayer that's finished by God is a perfect prayer. You must know, if you don't, I'm going to reveal it to you tonight. The Az Yashir Moshe is one of the greatest prayers that we have in the Sidur. The Gemara, Hida writes, the Benu Chaim Yosef David Azulai, whoever says the Az Yashir with Kavanah is forgiven for all his sins. It's not a vidui, it's not a confession. You take the Sidur and you read the Az Yashir with Kavanah, Mohalim lo al kol avonotav. More than that, they refer to the Az Yashir as a cure-all. What does it mean a cure-all? You have certain medicines, certain pills that are good for everything. Lehavdil, a Tylenol, or an Advil. Headache, take an Advil. My shoulder, take an Advil. The guy's leg hurts, take an Advil. It's something in that Advil pill that somehow is able to relieve 101 aches. Lehavdil, the Az Yashir Moshe not only saves the Jews when they come out of Egypt, they sing it when they're splitting the sea, but the holy books write that any time a person is in trouble and he needs a Yeshua and he needs a salvation, he's standing in front of an ocean, not a physical ocean. He needs Parnassah. There's an ocean blocking him. He needs a zivug. She needs a zivug. They need children. There's a health issue. Everybody has a yamsuf that's blocking them. When a person says, as yashir bekavana, the books bring down that it splits the personal sea of Am Yisrael. And they start to see Yeshuot. This is neglected by the people. That means this was not a one-time deal. Those that say the Az Yashir with Kavana, Borei Olam brings redemption to them in whatever they need. That's why if you look in the song, it says, Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael Tishira Azot, Bayom Ahu Lemor, Bayom Ahu Lemor, Lemor means to say to others. That means they said on that day, this song is not a one-time deal. It's Lemor. This is a song that others will sing as well, and they will benefit from it. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, God has many names. Actually, there are 72 names of Hashem, and each one of these names has three letters. You want to know what these 72 names are? It's good to know them. Because each name is used for another crisis. If somebody wants to have children, there's a certain Shem. If a person wants to protect themselves from the Ayin Hara, there's a certain Shem. If a person needs Parnassah, there's a certain Shem. Whoever's interested, after the shiur, I can give them to you. But we don't use the Shemot, really. But the Shemot are powerful. They actually come from this week's Parasha. There's three Pesukim in this week's Parasha. Back to back to back. Each pasuk has 72 letters. Imagine that. 72 letters, 72 letters, 72 letters. The Zohar HaKadosh says, in these three pasukim are the 72 names of God that have three letters. I don't see it. Take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, and you have a name. Take the second letter of the first pasuk, the second to the last letter of the second pasuk, and the second letter of the third pasuk, you have a name. Boom, 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 name. Boom, 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 name. Why are these names written in this week's parasha? Because Kiryat Yam Suf was such a moment of miracles. One name couldn't do it. You needed all 72 Shemot at the same time. This means this is a nuclear miracle. Because Borei Olam said, this is not a one-time deal. The Az Yashir is going to be sung by thousands of Jews for the future generations. And we have to put in this pill a cure, not only for Am Yisrael in the present, but for the future as well. And therefore it must be infused with all the Kavanot. The problem is, when the Jewish people were singing it, they knew that this is a mega song. They knew that they're going to have so much kavanah in this song that it's going to carry Bnei Yisrael throughout the generations. But they also knew they're limited. So they sang the song and they told God, Borei Olam, whatever we don't finish, you add the kavanot. We're going to pray like the guys in Lemberg. Although we're a little smarter than them. We know how to read, we know how to sing, we know how to make pesukim. We're going to sing like the Eglon and the Shul of Rav Levi Yitzchak Mberdichev. The pasuk says, as yashir, I'm going to teach you grammar. You know what yashir can mean grammatically? To cause somebody else to sing. Yashir. Who were they trying to get to sing with them? Ashira ladonai. They said, Borei Olam, you have to sing it with us. Because we don't know all the kavanot. There's too much names of God here. There's too much depth. Our brains are limited. So Borei Olam, whatever we cannot sing, you finish. And that's why the Az Yashir is written with blanks. I'm telling you a big hadush now. You see the blank part of the Az Yashir? Maybe one of you ever went to a shul where you saw the Kabbalist pray. You ever see how the Kabbalists pray? They have a book in front of them, big book. They say, Baruch, and they're turning pages. Baruch. They're turning. 30 pages for Baruch. They say, Shabbat, I'll never get out of here. They're going to finish the minyan over these guys. You got stuck. Atta, atta. Now that's a lot of kavanah. And on the pages is all different names of God and all kavanot. When the Jewish people were singing the Az Yashir Moshe Obnei said the Shira Azot, there's also a blank line. You know what the blank line is? Borei Olam Zim, Kavanot, Kavanot, Kavanot. The blank line is God giving time for God to add the Kavanot. Because all we are giving God is Igbe Hatzon, Sirufe Otiyot Venekudot. But Borei Olam, Am Yisrael needs this to become charged. It needs to become filled with kavanot. So we pause, there's a line in the middle. You'll ask me, if you put on your good glasses, everybody sees the black part of the Az Yashir, but the more important part is the white part. The white of the Az Yashir, that's God's part. And therefore we say, Ashira Lashem, Borei Olam, you sing with me. Because if you don't finish the song, it'll never be complete. And that's what Rashi says. As Yashir, the Yud is the Mahshava. The Yud is in the thought that the people said, listen, our thought is limited, and therefore Baram, you must complete it. The next time you open up the Az Yashir in the Sefer Torah, look at the white. The Kiddushah is in the white. That's where all the Kavanot are, in the white. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a rabbi called Chida. You know what he said? He said, in Shamayim, there's 12 lanes. And all the tefillot of Am Yisrael go up in a certain lane. Depends what tribe you come from, depends what community you come from, depends the kavanah that you have, but tefillah goes up one of 12 lanes. And then you know what he said? But the tefillah of the Sefaradim goes up all 12. That means our tradition is a very rich tradition. It's no secret that the greatest Kabbalist, Rabbeinu Ari, Rabbeinu Yitzhak Luri Ashkenazi, moved to Sfat in order to be with the Sefaradim. He prayed in the same Bet Knesset as Maran Rabbi Yosef Karo. And he understood that the tradition that we hold is very, very dear. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed of. Our tradition is an old tradition that dates back all the way from the times of Sfarad and before. Why should we give up our minhagim so fast? Why should we give up the way we pronounce the letters? Why should we give up the way our sidurim are? Nobody's taking it away from us. Stalin is not here. We don't have communists that are telling us you're not allowed to be Sfaradim. You must give up your tradition and your minhag, and you must adopt something that's not yours. Who's forcing us? Thank God we live in a free country that allows us to express our religion in any way we see fit. So to willingly give up what our grandparents and great-grandparents died for, is it small in your eyes what minhag is? Minhag is small, custom is small in your eyes. It's cheap in your eyes that you're willing to say, minhag, big deal. I'll take anybody else's minhag. 99 cents, give me a different minhag. It's so cheap in your eyes, your minhagim, especially this community. The Persian community, rich minhagim. Every move you make is a tradition. You don't make a step without a tradition. Your children are not important enough to bear this tradition. Instead, they should have something else. Why? Don't underestimate minhagim. I'll tell you one story. Motzei Shabbat, we tell stories. There was a rabbi called the Rama, Rabbi Moshe Isrelish, the rabbi of the Ashkenazim. He became the chief rabbi in Krakow. He's young. The Rama died at 33 years old. So he's a young man, chief rabbi in Krakow. First day on the job, after Alin Lashabaya, after Tefillah, the Gabbai gets up. We'd like to wish a Mazal Tov to Mr. So-and-so, and Mr. So-and-so. Mazal Tov. The rabbi says, what happened over here with these guys? Oh, their wives went to the mikveh last night. Wow. The Rama says, what? Yeah, these men, their wives went to the mikveh, and our custom is, whoever's wife goes to the mikveh, we make an announcement the next day, and everybody says, Mazal Tov, Siman Tov. The Rama says, oh, I'm the new rabbi here. Today, officially, this minhag is batel umbutal. Mutarim lachem. That's it. There's no minhag. What kind of minhag is this? The mikveh is tzniut, private item to make an announcement. What kind of thing is this? Whatever the rabbi says. But this is our minhag. There's no minhag. Minhag ta'ut. Anyway, there was a guy who wasn't there. Came a few days later. Supposedly his wife went to the mikveh the night before. So he's waiting for the announcement. The gabbai gets up and makes a few announcements. Hey, you forgot me? So the gabbai says, listen, buddy, you weren't here. We have a new rabbi, the Rama, and he nullified the minhag. And anyway, we have the list. Your wife didn't go to the mikveh last night. Oh, what do you mean she didn't go to the mikveh? Was given no kosheni. What do you mean she didn't go to the mikveh? She said she went to the mikveh. They investigated. Over there in Krakow, Poland, it's freezing cold. They don't have heated mikveh. So what did she do? She went around the block. She wet her hair. And she came back and she said, I went to the mikveh. So they told the Rama. The Rama said, now I understand the minhag. By announcing the husband, the lady has to go to the mikveh because she knows they're going to make an announcement in the Bet Knesset. But now that I stopped the minhag, there's nothing to guarantee that the lady will go. There was a reason behind this minhag. It forced the ladies to go because they knew there's going to be a public announcement in the Bet Knesset, so they can't run around the block and just put the water on their hair and Chas v'Shalom Isur Karet. And the Rama said, this was my fault. And he ripped his clothes and made kiri'ah. And he said, as my name is the Rama, this custom is now reinstated. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, whenever he writes a halakha, he says, V'chein ha-minhag ve'en l'shanot. He says, this is the minhag and don't change it. He learned the hard way. The Rama says, if you're interested in changing minhagim, just ask me. I tried to change an odd minhag, and look what happened. And that's why I say to this congregation here tonight, you have a bet sefer for Sephardim. I guarantee you it's not the best school. Because I haven't found the best school yet. My kids don't go to the best school either. Nor do I know anybody in Brooklyn where we have many schools, where any parent says, our school's the best school. Every school has issues. The fact that we have to pay tuition makes it not the best school. The fact that I get a bill every month already, it's not the best school. But besides that, so we have to overlook. I once heard from when we were writing one of the books with Art Scroll. So we kept on reviewing it and reviewing it and reviewing it. So Rabbi Nassim Sherman once told me, he says, Rabbi Mansour, let me teach you a lesson of life. The enemy of good is perfect. Which means to say, you're just going to try to make it perfect and perfect and perfect. You're never going to get anywhere in life. Just settle at good. But the enemy of good is perfect. And when you try for perfect, you never do anything in life. Because you're trying to reach perfection in the interim. You didn't write any books. You didn't publish anything. You know? So if you're waiting for the perfect school, it'll never happen. So you're going to punish an imperfect school to send your kids to another imperfect school. So now what did you gain? You have to look at the qualities that are good about the yeshiva. When I'm choosing a yeshiva for my children, I want to make sure they're going to learn how to read like Sephardim. That they have my Havara. That they talk like I'm talking. Like my grandfather talked. Like my great-grandfather talked. I want them to know the customs of how we make Pesach. As an example, our community, we eat rice on Pesach. That's our custom. I don't know what your custom is with rice. You eat rice also? Yes. Good. Now you'll go to another school, and your kids will come home, they'll think you're goyim. They see the mother cleaning rice for Pesach. Hey ma, what is this here? This hametz. Who told you that? The Rebbe in Yeshiva told me, this hametz. For him it's hametz maybe, for us not hametz. Now they get confused. And there's so many different minhagim that we have and dinim that we have. Now again, I'm not, Chas v'Shalom, racist or prejudiced with all my jokes. My kids, as they get older, they study in the yeshivot of the Ashkenazim. I studied in the yeshivot of the Ashkenazim. But of course, after I got a base of my tradition from the yeshivot for the first 12 years and from the house, then go anywhere you want. Then you can study anywhere in the world. And you have to put your money where your mouth is. It costs money to build yeshivot. And the Gemara says, En sibur ani. A congregation is not poor. One person may be poor. Two people may be poor. But a congregation is never poor. Because even if everybody puts in a little, peruta peruta le'ashbon gadol mitztaref. A penny here and a penny here is to a big number. My great-great-uncle, his name was Yitzhak Shalom. He was one of the greatest Jewish philanthropists in our community. And he put his money where his mouth is in Jewish education. And he went and he founded an organization called Otzar HaTorah, where he single-handedly funded the teaching of Sephardi children throughout the world. In Morocco, in France, Iran as well. He paid from his own pocket. Why? What does he care about a Jew in Iran? What does he care? He was Syrian. He lived in Brooklyn. What did he care about Jewish education of an Iranian boy? Because he understood where are these kids going to learn. So he built yeshivot around the world. Otzar HaTorah. I was in Otzar HaTorah in Casablanca. I saw the ones in France. And today, Baruch Hashem, many students graduated at yeshiva. But he did it alone at the time. We have to follow these great men. Invest in your own community. I'll leave you with one message. It costs money to preserve a tradition. There's nothing to talk about. There was one time a man, he was a very wealthy guy, but he doesn't give tzedakah. He doesn't know how to write a check. He's Kamsan. Kamsan bar Kamsan. The rabbi goes to him, please, we need money for the yeshiva. I don't have. But you're building a house, you're building a swimming pool. He doesn't have. Finally, he's on his deathbed. He calls the rabbi to the hospital. Rabbi, come to the hospital. The rabbi doesn't know what he wants. He takes out his checkbook, he writes him a check for $1 million. Rabbi says, oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, at least at the moment of death, he's going to give some tzedakah. He says, Rabbi, I want you to take this check, and I want you to invest it. He says, I don't need to invest it. It's enough money for the yeshiva, last us many years. He says, no, you can make more money on this. But I'm a rabbi, I don't know about investments. He says, no. Call the stockbroker, after I pass away, and you'll invest it 2 years. You should make 20%. He says, I don't need the 20%. I just want to put it in the bank now. You'll make 20%. It's a lot of money. He says, okay, then what? He says, well, then in 2 years, I'm thinking that the market's going to crash. So you got to get out of the market. You got to go into real estate. He says, I don't know anything about real estate. He says, no, in 2 years, you call this broker up. She's expecting your call. And you tell her you want to put the money. I don't need to go into it. I just want to use the money for the yeshiva. This is what I'm telling you. You'll make another 20%. He says, Uba'adein, and then what? He says, oh, then the market is going to crash, the real estate, be a bubble. You need to go into commodities. Gold, metals. But I don't know anything about this. No, here's the commodity guy. You make another 15%. And then what? Then you go there, and then you go. Says, what's the end? What do you want over here? He says, well, Rabbi, you always taught us in the classes that after a person dies, there's tahiyat ha-metim. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, when I come back, you'll give me back my money. This is a guy, even in his kibbutz, he's making money. He didn't give the rabbi a penny. He used the rabbi as his investor. And then you give me back the money. Of course, such a man leaves a very bad legacy. My great uncle gave all his money out to the tzedakot, for the yeshivot, for Talmud Torah Sefaradim. And we must follow that same system. And that's what I tell you tonight. You're not living in Gori, and Stalin is not on our back, and we have no excuse. And don't fall into the Yetzer Hara to look for imperfection. No school is perfect. You have to look for what's good. And once it's good, you have to build it up, get good teachers, make sure they know the tradition that they're teaching our children, and then we have something to be proud of. It's not a given that we must send our children out. Sfaradim have been around enough years that we're able to be independent, that we don't have to be dependent on other systems that are very good systems, I don't say no, but there's no reason for it. And then be'azat Hashem, I pray that all the kavanot that we talked about in the Az Yashir, Hashem Yigmor Ma'adi, God will finish the kavanot for us. All the kavanot that are in the white of the parchment, God will answer our prayers from the white of the parchment. We'll give God ikbe hatzon, tzirufei otiyot v'nekudot, v'Hashem yigmor ba'adenu, God will finish it for us. Ur'i et gediyotayich al mishkenot haro'im, our tefillot will be on the shoulder of giants. Mishkenot haro'im, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbeinu Ari, Rashash, and all the mechavenim. And if that's the case, God will answer all mishalot ben el tova, and Be'ezat Hashem is specifically that your yeshiva will become stable, your yeshiva will become popular, and more importantly, it will become supported by its own members. I wish you all Shavua Tov u'Mevorach.